Please proceed.
Thank you. Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. Ryan Carrion on behalf of Appellants Jeffrey R. Werner and Incredible Features Incorporated, who were the plaintiffs below. The judgment of the District Court should be reversed for three reasons. First, the District Court failed to consider that under Rule 4K2 and the Supreme Court's holding in Burnham, that service of process on Mr. Dalitsingh conclusively satisfied due process and conferred personal jurisdiction because Mr. Dalitsingh was personally served with process while voluntarily in the United States. Second, the District Court improperly analyzed Mr. Dalitsingh's purposefully directed contacts under the minimum contacts analysis. And third, the District Court abused its discretion by improperly applying the transfer statute and failing to transfer the case to the Middle District of Florida in the absence of personal jurisdiction in California. I'd like to focus my time primarily on the first point, that service of process on Mr. Dalitsingh conclusively satisfied due process and established personal jurisdiction. Federal Rule of Civil Procedure 4K2 provides that for claims arising under federal law, service of a summons establishes personal jurisdiction over the person of any defendant so long as the exercise of jurisdiction comports with due process.
So, Mr. Carrion, can I interrupt you for a moment? You present a very interesting issue. As far as I can tell, it's an issue of first impression. The district court cannot find a court similar to the circumstances in your case. I couldn't find one. You haven't cited one. So what you are suggesting is, or arguing, is that under 4K2, personal service in somewhere within the United States is sufficient to establish the third prong of Rule 4K2 as set out in our case in Holland. So what is puzzling is if personal jurisdiction is established because Mr. Dalitsingh was voluntarily in Florida, and so under Burnham, his physical presence would subject him to the jurisdiction of Florida, and then under Florida's long-arm statute in the District of Florida. Why isn't his physical presence also sufficient to defeat the second prong, that is, that he's not subject to the jurisdiction of any state? You're arguing he's present in the United States and therefore subject to the jurisdiction of Florida, a state within the United States. So how does that not defeat the second prong that has a requirement for jurisdiction under 4K2 that the person not be subject to the jurisdiction of any state?
So let me preface my answer by respectfully disagreeing with Your Honor. This is not a case of first impression because we have the Barassa case, which, although that was not decided,
well, I'm going to disagree with you. I know what Barassa says. Now, Barassa is not the same. First of all, we have to recognize that Burnham and Barassa were both decided before 4K2 was adopted in 1993, and Barassa deals with what is now 4K1C, which allows service under a statute that provides for nationwide service of process. In other words, Congress has decided we were going to allow nationwide service of process. That was the Securities Act. That's not the case, I do not believe, with the statutes that your claim relies upon, the Copyright Act and the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. So those are not statutes that include nationwide service of process. So we can disagree on that as to whether the Barassa establishes what you wish, but I'd really like you to answer my question.
Sure. So under the Vigman case in this court's jurisprudence, it states that under cases arising under federal law, the court does not need to deal with state boundaries, right? So the district court in this case, and we respectfully disagree with the district court's holding, but the district court found that because the case was not filed in Florida, that when Mr. Dalitsingh was served, Florida did not have personal jurisdiction. That was the reason that the district court did not transfer to Florida. So if we're going to accept that logic as true, then Florida would not have personal jurisdiction. So therefore, you need to look at 4K2 contacts with the United States. And under Vigman, because it arises under federal law, we don't need to necessarily piecemeal 50 different, you know, state borders. We're just looking at, was he physically present in the United States? And he was. And so therefore, service of process would confer jurisdiction anywhere in the United States under 4K2. And I want to just briefly address, Your Honor, the point that you made about the copyright and DMCA statutes not having a nationwide service of process section, and that is true, but I believe that Congress altered the judgment when they drafted 4K2, which did give cases arising under federal law nationwide service of process capability. So
if your interpretation of 4K2 is correct, why isn't 4K1C utterly superfluous at this point? Because as you know, I know you've read the advisory committee notes quite closely, and you saw what the committee explained was the purpose of proposing 4K2, and that they prefaced that with a special note to the Supreme Court and Congress citing the Rules Enabling Act, and then said it was supposed to be a limited extension of jurisdiction, and cited Omnia Capital versus Rudolph Wolf, which was a 1987 Supreme Court case, in which the Supreme Court said, if Congress hasn't created nationwide service of process in the statute, we can't do that. But maybe a rule could be designed to deal with this issue, where you have a person who doesn't have minimum contacts in any state, they have minimum contacts with the United States, they're sued under federal law, but there's not nationwide service of process, and hence the committee came up with 4K2. But in any event, 4K2 and 4K1C must serve different purposes, or else one of the rules is superfluous. Would you agree with that?
I see my time is short, if I may have 30 seconds to answer Your Honor's question.
Please go ahead.
4K1, I think you have to look at Section C in the context of Section A, which states that the requirement that the defendant be subject to the jurisdiction of a court in a state where a district court is located, right? So that's the difference between 4K1 and 4K2. If they're subject to jurisdiction in the state via minimum contacts or some other way, then 4K1 would apply. And if they're not, then 4K2 would apply. And so we would argue that in this case, Mr. Dalit Singh was not claiming to be subject to the court of jurisdiction in any state. The district court didn't find that. And so therefore, service of process in the United States would be the proper application. And so I'll submit until my rebuttal.
All right. So you have just over 2 minutes. Thank you. And Mr. Poorman.
Apologies, Judge. I'll be right there. I have to unmute him. Mr. Poorman?
Yes, may I proceed?
Mr. Hello? Poorman, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So this is Jake Poorman, and may it please the court, I'm representing Ms. Pelley, Landon Dalit Singh. Mr. Dalit Singh submits that transient jurisdiction or transient presence in the United States is simply not the type of contact with the United States that Rule 4K2 was intended to capture.
Mr. Poorman, this is Judge McCullough. I have a question for you. Do you continue to deny that Mr. Dalit Singh could be sued in any individual state?
So he could have been sued, Your Honor, he could have been sued in Florida had appellants chosen to proceed there.
So you agree that he can be sued in Florida, and that would be the proper district in which the case can be brought, right?
Our position is that he could have been sued. It's not clear at this point if he's amenable to jurisdiction in Florida, because when he was personally served there, he was served with a California lawsuit. However, it does seem clear, and appellants have admitted, I think, pretty clearly that had they proceeded in Florida, they could have proceeded in Florida had they chosen to do so.
would you raise in a Florida proceeding, if it was transferred to Florida, that he was not subject to jurisdiction in Florida? He could not be sued in Florida. Would you do that now?
I think at this point, Your Honor, he would not be subject to jurisdiction in Florida because they did not decline to proceed there.
Is there any other district where he could be sued in the United States that you would agree he was subject to jurisdiction there?
I don't believe that there's any jurisdiction in the United States where he could currently be subject to personal jurisdiction. But Mr. Dalat-Singh submits that the relevant inquiry here is that he could have been sued in Florida if the appellants had chosen to do that.
So, Mr. Poorman, this is Judge Beatty. As I understand your argument, if the plaintiff appellants had filed their lawsuit in the United States District Court for the District of Florida, and then when Mr. Dalat-Singh was physically present in Florida a few days later, personally served him, under Burnham, he would be subject to jurisdiction in Florida. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I think that's correct.
So why don't we transfer the case to Florida?
Among other reasons, it was appellant's burden to show in the lower court that transfer would be in the interest of justice. And appellants made no effort to make that showing, and therefore that it can't be an abuse of discretion or could not have been an abuse of discretion for the district court to deny transfer. Further,
is that the only ground?
And also, it's not clear that, as I mentioned, it's not clear that Florida at this point, because appellants filed a lawsuit in California and declined to proceed in Florida, it's not clear that at this juncture that there is jurisdiction in Florida and therefore the transfer would be appropriate on that ground.
Why wouldn't there be jurisdiction in Florida? I thought you just said that he could have been sued in Florida.
Correct. He could have been, right? So if appellants had filed their lawsuit in Florida and then served Mr. Dalat-Singh in Florida, it seems somewhat inarguable under Burnham that there would have been personal jurisdiction over him there. However, appellants, presumably for their own convenience, declined to do that and instead filed the lawsuit in California. And so it's not clear that the fact that he was served in Florida was sufficient to confer jurisdiction, again, simply because the appellants declined to proceed there. There was nothing preventing them from filing the Florida lawsuit and then proceeding against him in Florida.
I do have one question that I'm not clear on, and I'd like your position as clearly as you can state it. Do you concede that Mr. Dalat-Singh was not subject to Florida state jurisdiction if he had been sued in Florida when he was served, or claim that he was subject to state jurisdiction? Which one?
He was not, simply because the lawsuit was a California lawsuit. However, if appellants would have filed in Florida and then served him in Florida, which they were perfectly capable of doing, he would have been subject to jurisdiction there.
So you claim that he was subject to Florida state court jurisdiction when he was served in Florida, true?
That's correct if there had been a Florida lawsuit with which he was
okay,
served.
Okay, I've got that.
Thank you. So, as the court observes, Mr. Dalat-Singh is not aware of a single case in the approximate 27 years since Rule 4K2 was enacted that does what appellants urge here, which is assert Rule 4K2 jurisdiction over a foreign defendant based merely on his transient presence in the United States. Rule 4K2 was intended to fill a gap in the federal jurisdiction, the personal jurisdiction schema, such that defendants with diffuse contacts throughout the United States, sufficient to support jurisdiction, but insufficient contacts with any particular state, were falling into the gap and were not subject to jurisdiction because of the limits on state jurisdiction, and Rule 4K2 fills that gap. Here, the transient Mr. Dalat-Singh's transient or contact with Florida, his transient presence there, is no different, is the same contact that appellants seek to base 4K2 on. So, in other words, his contact with Florida is no different than his contact with the United States, and therefore, that's not the type of contact that Rule 4K2 was intended to capture. Mr. Dalat-Singh is only aware of one case that appears to have addressed this scenario, which is the Southern District of Florida case, BTG Patent Holdings versus Bag2Go, which declined to exercise 4K2 jurisdiction because the defendant had been successfully personally served in Nevada, which seems to be, which Mr. Dalat-Singh submits would be the right outcome here. It is appellant's burden to show that Mr. Dalat-Singh was not subject or could not have been subjected to jurisdiction in any particular state. And here, he could have been subjected to jurisdiction in Florida. Mr. Dalat-Singh also respectfully submits that it is appellant's burden to show that the exercise of Rule 4K2 jurisdiction would comport with due process. And here, appellants have not met that burden. The most important part of the, or the focus of the personal jurisdiction inquiry is the defendant's contact with the forum. And critical to that inquiry is whether or not the exercise of jurisdiction is foreseeable. In other words, whether a defendant could reasonably foresee being hailed into court in that forum. Given that no court has exercised 4K2 jurisdiction based on transient presence, Mr. Dalat-Singh could not have reasonably anticipated that his transient presence in Florida would have rendered him subject to jurisdiction throughout the United States. Mr. Dalat-Singh also submits that it would be a strange outcome if Mr. Dalat-Singh, a foreigner, would be subject to jurisdiction in every state based on his transient presence in Florida, when a United States citizen who is transiently present in Florida could not be sued everywhere on that basis. And that such an outcome would also be inconsistent with the general principle that courts should be reticent in asserting jurisdiction over a foreign defendant. Moreover, Mr. Dalat-Singh's entire scope of the quantum of his contacts with the United States, as a general matter, are simply insufficient to support the exercise of Rule 4K2 jurisdiction. Referring to the case of Holland American Line Incorporated versus Wartsila North America, 485 F3rd 450, the Ninth Circuit case in 2007, occasional contact with the United States and making his website accessible from the United States, which is essentially what appellants allege here, is not sufficient to support the exercise of jurisdiction. Mr. Dalat-Singh also submits that the court was correct in declining to find specific personal jurisdiction over Mr. Dalat-Singh, both for the reasons that his conduct was not expressly directed at California or the United States more generally, and that he could not have reasonably or did not anticipate that the harm from the alleged misconduct was suffered in or would be suffered in California or the United States more generally. The misconduct alleged here.
Mr. Portman, your time is up. If you want to just, you're not too far over. If you want to just wrap up, and we'll go on with Mr. Carrion's rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. I would just say very briefly that Mr. Dalat-Singh's conduct is not expressly aimed at the United States because the alleged misconduct is the postings of videos with allegedly copyrighted images and the posting was in Canada by a Canadian citizen to Canadian YouTube, and there's no evidence in the record that the videos or Mr. Dalat-Singh's YouTube channels more generally are directed at a California or United States audience, and I would submit on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Portman. Mr. Carrion, you have a couple of minutes for a rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just want to mention a couple of things. First of all, this is not a California lawsuit. This is a federal lawsuit. And I think that's critical because it arises under federal law, it theoretically could have been filed in any federal court. You can't file a California state law lawsuit in Florida, but you can file a federal lawsuit in Florida or California. And I think that's critical because we're talking about the United States and not necessarily one particular state.
Would you agree with Mr. Portman that if you had opted to do so, you could have filed this federal lawsuit in Florida, in a district court in Florida, and then personally served Mr. Dalat Singh when he was physically present in Florida, and then asserted Burnham as the basis of jurisdiction?
In other words,
was there any reason why you could not file in Florida?
Well, essentially, I mean, you know, you're trying to guess where is this foreign defendant going to be, right? He's in Florida one day, he's in California, he's in Washington,
right.
D.C.
I mean, you guys knew the testimony was from your client was he knew about the conference. He knew exactly when Mr. Dalat Singh was going to be present and speaking, and he planned it. I mean, it was timed. You filed a lawsuit 2 days before Mr. Dalat Singh appeared for a conference where you knew he would be, and then you served him. So under those circumstances, is there any impediment? Is there any reason why you couldn't have simply filed it in Florida and then served him in Florida?
Well, yes, Your Honor, there is a reason. It's not on the record, but Florida actually doesn't do e-filing, or at least they didn't, of summons. They actually mail it to you. So there wouldn't have been enough time for us to get it in the mail. He would have been long gone. And I think that's what the problem is with this, right?
But you can also –
maybe he wasn't.
That's not a – you're making a process argument that doesn't really affect the law here because there are many ways around that process, including local counsel.
Well, but I think, Your Honor, the problem is, what if he wasn't able to be served, right? What if he successfully evaded? Now we're stuck with a lawsuit in Florida, and who knows where he's going to be?
How would that be different in whether he's in California or Florida? I mean, your whole gambit was serve him while he's personally in Florida. And if you don't serve him, then I assume your client would have tried to serve him the next time he knew he was going to be at a conference somewhere in the United States.
Sure. And so our reliance was on minimum contact, which we argued in our brief below and here in this court, with the understanding that if he wasn't going to be served, well, at least we have minimum contacts with California. I understand the district court, didn't agree with that argument, but that was the idea, right? I mean, we didn't want to just completely guess and hope that we could serve him in Florida if, we weren't going to be able to get him. And I just will say one more thing.
Mr. Portman, I'm sorry, Mr. Karen, I'll give you a little more time because I'm taking your time up with questions, so I will give you a little more time. Is there any tension between what you've just said, that you believe that there were minimum contacts in California, there was jurisdiction over Mr. Dalat Singh in California, and the district court was wrong on that point? They should have found personal jurisdiction because of his contacts with California. So that would suggest that he was subject to the jurisdiction of a state in the United States, which would again create a problem under the second prong of 4K2. Do you see the tension with between the two rules and the position that you're taking?
I do, Your Honor, and I think they're alternative rules, right? Because, just because we believe that jurisdiction exists and we'll certainly argue it and put forth evidence of the contact doesn't mean the district court would agree. And maybe the district court's right. We're not conceding that they are, but maybe the district court's right. And so if the district court is right that there's no minimum contacts sufficient in California to establish jurisdiction in California, well, then you flip back to 4K2 as the alternative argument of, well, there's contacts with the United States, specifically his being personally served in the United States. And I will add briefly that, I know there's been some discussion of this is a case of first impression. What will this rule do if we rule in favor of Mr. Werner? I actually don't think that this is a radical rule, because if you look at how 4K2 is typically applied, which is that a defendant is served in their home country, might not even have ever visited the United States, and yet the court can, through minimum contact, find that personal jurisdiction and due process are satisfied in that instance, I think all the more reason for someone who travels to the United States to do business here, who's physically present, to reasonably anticipate being hailed into a court in the United States. And if he doesn't believe that California is the court, he can say Florida. Heck, he can even say Northern District of New York, because it's right across the border from Toronto if he wanted to. But he hasn't said any of those things. Right?
Okay, so Mr. Karen, you're now you had your 2 minutes of rebuttal and 3 minutes beyond that. Unless Judge Bea or Judge McCullough have any other questions, I think we're finished.
No, okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, counsel. Thank you both very much for your arguments this morning. They were helpful. Also, thank you for joining us in this experiment of VTC telephonic arguments. I thought it went well. I hope you both agree in that you thought you were able to present your positions, even though we couldn't all be together in the courtroom. So thank you very much, and we're adjourned.
Thank you, Your Honor.